This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, and I'd like to start by congratulating everybody that has YouTube TV. You'll be fine this weekend. You'll be all right because YouTube TV and Fox announced that they have an agreement on a carriage deal. I always try and add that I in there for the football season. And obviously, I was primarily looking at it from a college football perspective. This Saturday is a huge one. And actually, I say to this Saturday like it's not tomorrow.
Mañana.
You have Texas, Ohio State, which is going to be a huge, huge matchup, a very fun one for a number of reasons. What does Ohio State look like coming back after a national championship? Where are they returning? Three starters? Mm-hmm. Something like that? But then also, the University of Texas, we've done a lot of talking about Arch Manning. He's started two games in his career. Neither of those were notable opponents. Like, this is going to be a big time for a start for him. But also, have not talked about, hey, Fox is also the home of NFL, and like that was going to be a huge part of this weekend as well. But the YouTube TV will carry Fox, so we did avoid it. We avoided the danger that seemed like it was coming.
Funny how that works out, right? They could do it. How come Jerry Jones couldn't do it? Get it done at the last minute? Get it done at the last minute? Make everybody happy?
YouTube wasn't like, well, Fox, we had agreed to something earlier.
It was a handshake agreement.
And it feels like you've reneged, and I'm upset.
Yeah, I don't think Fox was like, you know what? Let's get this deal done early.
Yeah.
Nah, let's do it right before the season starts.
Yeah. YouTube was like, all right, we're getting Fox out of here, but that's so that we can be better with our ESPN, you know what I mean? Like, that's what we're trying to do. And you know what? Like,
or make a trade.
We never wanted Fox.
Trade it
honestly.
To, like, Space City Network or something.
I feel like you're insulting numerous people in one fell swoop there. But, yeah, so we did get out of that. So you will be fine if you have YouTube TV. We've made it into another football season without having one carriage dispute annoy you. Until next year, right?
There'll be another
one. Just feels like every damn year this happens. Yeah. We're always talking about it. When we were talking about it was earlier this week, the idea of, I do feel like we're going to have more of these actually carry into outages because, I mean, what was it? The ESPN dispute that they had a couple years ago that actually went into college football and could not watch college football that the first Saturday of the year. It does feel like we're getting bolder and bolder with some of these as it's going along. All right. Some other things around the NFL. We know that the Colts will not be starting Anthony Richardson. Daniel Jones will be the man that's running things there. But in addition to that, like, what role could Anthony Richardson hold? That was the question that was posed to Shane Steichen, the head coach of the team. And Shane Steichen said, we'll see. I want to make sure he crushes his new role, takes it in stride and does a hell of a job there. But like, what role is he expected to hold as being like a backup? Is it just like, hey, man, really embrace the backup role. Make sure you find out what everybody's donut and coffee order is. Mm-hmm. Like, really grab hold of that. Or like, what role can you envision for Anthony Richardson at this point with him not being a starter for the Colts?
Do you see him? Do they see him is the question as more of, lack of a better way to put it, like a gimmick type quarterback?
I mean, that is one way that he could get on the field and be impactful. The only thing that's tough is what would his gimmick be that you would not inherently have in Daniel Jones? Because the whole idea of Daniel Jones...
Well, he can run, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is he's not necessarily a great passer of the football, but what helps, you imagine, is, well, he has some wheels, right? We did the, you know, the, oh man, Daniel Jones is a little bit more of an athlete than we gave
Sneaky
him credit
fast.
For. Yeah. Does that change at all with Anthony Richardson on
size
on the field? Yeah, I guess the size.
Short yardage would be my only guess that they bring him in. But aren't you also, if you do that, you're almost raising kind of a white flag on Anthony Richardson just as a quarterback in general? He becomes a gimmick, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's fair. So what would you prefer? Just like to
just sit,
treat him as a full
reps,
backup?
Practice as much as you can. I mean, he's just in a bad spot. I don't know what they're going to do with him. I don't think you should play him. I mean, even like I said, those gimmick things, Daniel Jones can do a lot of it, short of like maybe a tush push to protect Daniel Jones, you know, that type thing.
Yeah, I'm interested in like actually an on the field role. Obviously, they're off the field role. It does matter. Did you see? Was it Riley Leonard, one of the backup quarterbacks in that quarterback room, making fun of the Anthony Richardson taking himself out by tapping his head?
Yeah,
it does feel like as much as they might be joking about it, I feel like all humor has a little bit of like a nugget of truth within
it.
No,
I wondered about it at the time.
And a lot of people did. Yeah. And I probably was more of a person that was like, I don't know how much that's going to sit with like the guys. You know, obviously everybody's in a war room and you fight for each other. I do wonder if he might just need to do some of the off-field stuff to earn the respect of his teammates even more so.
That's probably the most, you know what? You're probably right. That's probably the most important thing. Change your ways. Be the ultimate backup, the ultimate teammate. You know, supportive, all that stuff. And coaches all want that, but they don't always get it. That might be the only thing that can really help him in the locker room. And I actually thought it was maybe not a big factor, but something of a factor just in how they viewed him in general as the quarterback.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
Some other things around the NFL. We didn't mention this earlier on in the week, and so I did want to mention this here. I don't know how much you want to dwell on it, but there was an investigative report that came out earlier this week that pointed to the idea that obviously Jim Irsay, the late owner of the Indianapolis Colts that passed earlier this year, we had no idea as to what happened there. And I think that did we get anything that was officially saying it was natural causes or just kind of that he passed? Oh, it was peacefully in his sleep.
That's what
was the phrase that was used. And we were like, what does that actually mean? Because my immediate thought was substances. Well, lo and behold, and I'm not happy to report this, Jim Irsay did relapse before his death is what an investigative report done by The Washington Post has described. It seemed like he had gotten into, if memory serves, and let me not say that without double checking that. But yeah, the substances had returned to his life. And I don't know if we can necessarily say that that is inherently what did him in and was his ultimate demise. But how does that make you feel? Like,
sad.
How does that hit you? Yeah, because that was
sad.
I'm not going to lie. In my lifetime, I have made the jokes about Jim Irsay and the pills or whatever. Because I mean, I'm sorry. I do find it funny that when you get stopped in a car and you got all these pills, money and stuff, and it feels like you're a drug runner of sorts, even though I know that's not inherently what's happening here. But it is sad when it's like he's passed away, and clearly that rehabilitative thing of life, it's one of the things that we always like in sports and in life is just can somebody overcome their obstacles, to see that he was not able to and that might have contributed to his passing.
Well, just the relapse after so many years, because by all accounts, he went a long way, you know, clean, so to speak. And the relapse after so many years to me is the saddest thing. Like, you know, you are clean. You are no longer addicted. Your body no longer craves it. It's your mind. And your mind, you know, it's so powerful, you know, makes you go back. To me, that's one of the saddest things there is.
Yeah. No. So just I saw that and I was like, oh, I had an opportunity to mention it. That was really a sad thing to see. Some other things around the NFL. The Texans, week one opponent, we've talked a little bit about it. Obviously, next week we'll really get hot and heavy into it as we gear up for week one in the NFL. The Los Angeles Rams, head coached by Sean McVay. McVay, in his media availability yesterday, had said a couple of things that were noteworthy. I'd like to start with the first one here, Figgy. This was Sean McVay talking about the first game of the season and the Texans, the quote, unscouted looks that they will have when it comes to meeting up against the Texans.
You know, in the first game of the year, there's always some unscouted looks. I think it's really about, you know, being able to play rules ball. Obviously, with them having a first-time coordinator, he knows us, we know them a little bit, you know, familiar with their defensive structure. They're excellent, and then they've always been excellent in the kicking game as well. So I got a lot of respect for this group that we're going against, but I think it's about us having a good week of preparation, making sure that we do a good job of trying to put our players in the right spots to have good, successful outcomes, and then when the time comes to be able to kick off, let's go cut it loose and go for it.
You know, interestingly, and again, we'll dig into this more next week, but interestingly, I think the Texans know a lot more about the Rams than the Rams do about the Texans.
You think so?
Yeah, because I'm convinced. I haven't really, you know, heard this directly from anyone involved, but I just can't imagine that Nick Caley really called anything. You know, I thought he helped with the game plans, maybe helped with the play call from the press box or whatever, sideline. But it was Sean McVay's call. So Sean McVay really doesn't know which direction, you know, Nick Caley might want to go, you know?
Well,
like he doesn't have any samples of Nick Caley likes to do this, other than maybe, hey, you know, the suggestions or the game plan.
But I think that matters, right? I think it's worth remembering when game plans come together, those conversations are extensive. Those coaches spend a lot of time together, whether it's breaking down film and just generally having some idea of how do you think about football as a whole, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, even if we're just taking this from an interview process, when Sean McVay hired Nick Caley, I have a strong imagination that he dug in on what are your football philosophies? What do you like? What do you not like? I think that that's where the familiarity works, not necessarily what are the things that you've tangibly called. What are the conversations that we've had about how you view this and how you attack that? Because I don't disagree with you. I mean, obviously, Nick Caley, he offered it to us when we were talking to him out
never
there
to play.
At training camp that he's never called to play. But I strongly believe that he's had ideas that have maybe had conversations about or, okay, how do we work on these things? And those are going to be some level of influence, I think.
He knows philosophies and thought processes, but he's never, you know, he doesn't know what, like, everybody likes to put their own stamp on things. And he doesn't know that Nick Caley is, you know, when it comes, push comes to shove, likes to do this. So I think there's a little bit of both, but I think there's a little bit of an advantage for Nick Caley, you know, presuming he can pull it off.
And I also wanted to hit this from Sean McVay. And also, I appreciate this text. It said, can we get McVay some lozenges for his raspy voice?
I'll
listen to that portion of this. But this is Sean McVay talking about the importance of continuity with coordinators.
It's big, you know, and I really feel fortunate to be around a great coaching staff. And we had six new additions, but I think they all fit. They've all done a great job of, you know, feeling like they're one of us. But I do think it's been great, Brock, to be able to have continuity at the coordinator spot. There's another year of familiarity. There's another year of us working together, figuring out, hey, how do we maximize our players? How do we communicate and collaborate amongst each other as a coaching staff? And how do we remain curious to be able to have that flexibility and adaptability that's going to be necessary, you know, throughout the course of the season?
If you were at all wondering, Mike LaFleur, Matt LaFleur's brother, is the offensive coordinator there. Obviously, Sean McVay has a huge hand, if not just at being the primary play caller there. But then also Chris Schuler is entering his eighth season with the Rams, but his first as a defensive coordinator. So he talks about continuity there. That is an interesting part of it because we never really – we think about that more so with the local team. And obviously Nick Caley becomes a big part of this because offense was such a big deal. They have some of their own movings and shakings on the staff. In fact, they have more new additions to their staff than the Texans do to
six.
Theirs.
I mean, you heard him say that. But having the coordinators and him being the play caller, that's enormous for the Rams. It is. Remember when Sean McVay was going to retire?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that? I was thinking, listen.
He found a new love for the game, man.
Because he's talking about you got to be refreshed and you got to, however he put it there. And I'm like, I thought this guy was burned out.
Well, I think that he was. Yeah. I read a really interesting piece, and I think this was Caitlin Kaler, if memory serves, or maybe it wasn't, but it was in The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
So it might have been Jordan Ronrique, now that I think about it. But she wrote a really interesting piece about how he was able to get through that kind of malaise or fatigue. And it was actually Chris Peterson, the former Washington.
I read that. I remember
head coach.
That. Yeah.
And he, you know, decided, and he had never met Sean McVay, but he reached out to him and kind of mentored him on, you know, how to maybe find more of that love in the game. And really, I say that as if that's the big part. The big part was how to find the balance in life so that you are able to bring your best self to football. So depending on how you feel about it, you might blame Chris Peterson for, you know, giving that rejuvenation to Sean McVay and seeing that. But we'll see him and his team next week, and we'll gear up for that one. Real quick before we go, I should remind you that Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit Paramount Plus. .com/NFL to get started today. We did not get to the top 100 from yesterday, but I did want to bring this up as, you know, I've been trying to get this to you every day. Last time we checked in, I got to Trey Hendrickson at 14 on the top one. Actually, I think Jared Goff was maybe the last one. So Trey Hendrickson came in at 14, the pass rusher for the Bengals. We talked a lot about him. A man that we saw recently, at least in preseason, Number 13 is offensive tackle for the Lions, Penei Sewell, who is incredible. Like, offensive lineman that can be ranked in, like, the top 25.
That's real high right 13? There, man. That's real high.
And that's like a 10-spot jump from him for last year. Yeah. That dude is incredible.
And he and Micah twice a year now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That'll be a real fun situation. Mm-hmm. A man that we're very familiar with, and maybe not in no good way, defensive end for the Chiefs, Chris Jones, comes in at 12. And then, similarly, outside linebacker for the Steelers, obviously an edge rusher, T.J. Watt comes in at 11.
We're getting into the supreme here.
Yeah, but I did find it interesting. T.J. Watt, because, again, the top of the pass rushers, so guys that I mentioned there, or maybe defensive lineman, because Chris Jones.
Yeah, he's inside out.
He's elite, but, you know, he's mostly inside, even though he kind of works outside as well. Yeah. Mentioned Hendrickson, mentioned T.J. Watt, mentioned Chris Jones, all in this space. Your pass rushers on the Texans are Will Anderson Jr., who came in at 46, and Danielle Hunter, who we thought, hey, he's getting some love. He was at 25, which is still a good 10 spots below some of these guys.
That's pretty high, though. And T.J. Watt has the pelts on the wall. He's got a bigger sample size. Maybe not. I mean, Danielle Hunter can argue, but definitely he's got more on.
So
that.
No beef about the way that lines up.
Top 10 coming up.
Top 10 is coming up. Yeah. So next week we will find out who officially lines up in the top 10. But yeah, I did find that interesting that you get just a glut of pass rushes right here, which makes sense, right? They're going to have, I guess, the importance of their position will help elevate them. I just like the juxtaposition between what is some of the elite ones.
Sure,
obviously, the most elite ones are still to come next week.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the elite ones and how they compared with your pass rushes, which is an elite tandem, but still, I guess, amongst players is not necessarily amongst the very top.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing, though, is that it feels like Will Anderson Jr. is not far removed from being in that space, but he's still 46.
Hey, we're 1 year away.
Hopefully that kind of almost robotic, immediate response that he's talked about on the Greenlight podcast when he's pass rushing, hopefully that will help him make that jump of, what, let's say 30 spots? I could deal with 16 next year.
Yeah.
And it starts with the football on the field, which comes up next week. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Friday. Coming up next, let's talk about the Astros. They were able to finish out the Rockies. Shout out to Christian Walker getting a great outing. But finish this sentence for me. The Astros will finish this thing off if blank. We'll talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
All right, give me one moment. It's a little navel-gazy, so I'll apologize right off jump. But a text came in on the text line again, 713-572-4610. Good morning, guys. I normally listen to you guys while at work Monday through Thursday, but today decided for the first time to watch you guys on the YouTube.
Hey.
Finally putting a face with the voices I've heard the past 7 years. Thank you guys for helping me through some long, hot days.
Oh, that's great.
We appreciate you rocking.
Hey, that's
with
a commitment, too, to listen to somebody don't know what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of times I try to check out a podcast, a random podcast. I'm like, what do these people look like?
Sure.
I always try to go see what they look like. So it's a
look. Look right into that camera right there, Reggie. There you go. See?
It's awkward. Feels like I'm staring into your soul. No, but we appreciate you rocking with us. And a reminder, you can always get involved on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, the Twitch chat's available for you. Figgy has mentioned the numerous various places that you can hear.
The Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, as Clint like to say. And the iHeartRadio app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. I mean, AM,
old school.
HD radio on the FM. Like, there's different ways that you can keep up with us. And however you decide to keep up with us, we really greatly appreciate you doing that. All right. Keep up with us in this way, 713-572-4610, and answer this question, or actually fill in the blank, because it's not a question, and it really would annoy me if I just kept saying, answer this question. Finish the sentence. The Astros will finish this thing off if blank. A victory that was needed yesterday in some day baseball versus the Rockies, a 4-3 victory in which, hey, shout out to Christian Walker, man, two homers. For the kid, and he ultimately helps you get off.
Kid, I like it.
I mean, I'm just trying to have some fun with him. I feel like I've been negative enough towards Christian Walker. It's not the point of right now, but I was thinking about this yesterday. I'm like, since July, I believe his OPS is somewhere, it's like damn near about 800.
Mm-hmm.
But then also I was just a couple days ago like, damn, why is he behind Yordan? So like, I've been pretty up and down. So, you know, I'm trying to show him a little bit of love, but he deserved it, especially after yesterday's performance being, I mean, he was ultimately what lifted you up over the Rockies in that one. Were you upset at all about the way that one went, or were you just willing to take the win?
No, you take the dub. It was a much more interesting game than I figured it would be. But there's been a lot of those here lately. But I did like a couple of things, and actually I'll finish the sentence because it kind of led to me thinking about this. You know, the Astros will finish this thing off if, keep in mind, Mariners are still there, although it's a 2-game lead now after yesterday.
Because they had an off day. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that is that a lot more teams have off days on Thursdays than it seems like the Astros do. The Astros end up playing on a lot of Thursdays.
I guess they had more early in the season. It is obviously going to balance out, I guess, the off days and travel and all that. But, yeah, so my thing was – what was the most impressive thing about yesterday to you? I'll start it that way before I finish the sentence.
Maybe this is being contrarian. I don't know.
I mean, it could have been Christian Walker. He's been on a heater, man.
I really did appreciate that. My dumb brain is like, do I take off points for him barely sliding that Oppo Taco in right field, just sliding just barely past the foul pole? I shouldn't. It counts as a home run just the same as if he had hit it 500 yards. So, yeah. 500 feet, rather. 500 yards would be insane.
That would be pretty cool. I'd like to see that.
No, at that point, I think we should start giving two runs. Like, I feel like at that point, we should start doubling up if you hit it 500 yards. No. I'm trying to, like, not just take for granted the mundane.
Mm-hmm.
Having Brian Abreu be this locked down and this nailed.
That's mine.
Okay, that's good. Mine. We're in the same place.
Yeah.
That is not something that we should take for granted. This was an Astros team that as recently as last year had two closers.
Mm-hmm.
And you sent one on his merry way, regardless of how that worked out for him when he went. And then the guy that you were like, hey, we're putting all our eggs in this basket, he's gotten hurt.
Yeah.
And you have not felt the drop-off because Brian Abreu has been that damn good.
Well, because here's the thing, and so the way I would finish it, the Astros will finish this thing off if Brian Abreu keeps doing what he's doing. Because you've probably looked at this the way you crunch numbers. What are his earned runs for the entire month of August? Keep in mind, the month of August ends this weekend. How many earned runs has he given up in August?
The way that you're asking this question makes me feel like it's a few. I will guess 3.
Figgy, how many earned runs has Brian Abreu given up the entire month of August?
I'm mad that I haven't looked this up yet.
I'm going to say 2.
0. None. 0. He's given up. He has 4 saves, given up only 5 hits, and 0 earned runs in August. And so that's my answer. And I think for me, the reason it's my answer is we really can't predict anything with this squad. You talk about, was I a little upset about the way it played out? Well, you know, maybe you could have been. There were some things that could have upset you. We know the offense up and down. They're gonna score 9 runs, then they're gonna score 0 runs against a pitcher with a 6 ERA. You know, we know that the lineup has been a little bit flighty. The outside, the outfield has been a little bit weird here and there, mixing and matching. We know, you know, there are some things about the starting pitching staff that are still complete unknowns. I can't tell you right now who I would favor between. I think mine would probably be Christian Javier.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
Although Eric Geddy did not look terrible
more bad than good since he's come back.
Fair enough.
I don't know about McCullers. They're talking about him in the bullpen, which I appreciate. I can't tell you anything consistent about the pitching. Fromber came on strong this week, but we know what Fromber's been in the 3 outings before that. Hunter Brown even, you know, gave it up a little bit, but we have confidence in it. There are so many flighty up and down things about this team. If you have the one constant, and the one constant is, hey, if you somehow, some way, whether it's 12 to 11.
Get it to 9.
Yeah.
Get it to the 9th.
Whether it's 12 to 11 or 1 to nothing, if you can get to the 9th inning, lock it up. If Brian Abreu keeps doing what he's doing, the Astros are going to finish this thing off, you know, by crook or by hook.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Yeah, I owe you. Yeah. Mix it up. I like that. No, I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I see you, Retro Ren. What about the gun down at the plate by Cam? Yeah, that's his 6th outfield assist of the year, which I did not realize this. It's tied for the most in the AL.
Crazy.
For outfielders. Like, he's been very good defensively. Mm-hmm. The only thing about it is just him having him be effective at the plate, and he went yard was that this week for the first time in a good long while. Like, that has been a good thing. I don't think that I could fill the blank with this. However, I do feel like it will be helpful to have the law firm of Sanchez and Smith hold down right field and be effective at the plate as well.
Maybe your answer is Carlos Correa. You know, maybe your answer is Jose Altuve. He's still the heartbeat of the team. And I couldn't argue those points very hard right now, because Correa's been so good since he got here. Altuve has a career of big moments down the stretch. But to me, I mean, let's think about this. How were we feeling when Hader went down? I mean, it was, oh, Lord.
Yeah, but I will say,
yeah,
I think, And it is fair. Someone texts in that last year you effectively had three starters and then closers rather, mm-hmm. and then this year you have two because Abreu, he's been this, right? Mm-hmm. So I think when Hader goes down, I don't think anybody was afraid of, oh man, what's the ninth inning going to look like? He has delivered mm-hmm. very well, and so we appreciate Brian Hader for that. I think really it was the question of, now that you slide everybody, what happens in the sixth and the seventh inning, because you were already sure. feeling a little thin there. I think that was really the trepidation that happened there. Mm-hmm. A couple of things that I think are fair as we try to fill in the sentence. The Astros will finish this thing off if, I think this is a good one by Guap on the YouTube page, who says if the bats can stay consistent, because that's a huge one, right?
Well, we talked, they haven't been.
They haven't.
Yeah.
They've had their ups, their downs. They've had instances where they put up mm-hmm. a whole bunch of runs. They've had instances where it felt like mm-hmm. they were, you know, checking the seat cushions to see if they could find a run,
right.
spare run here or there. I think that is fair. It's hard, though, to ignore the starting pitching rotation. Mm-hmm. The Astros will finish this thing off if one of the reinforcements will stand up and be the real third yeah. pitcher.
And maybe that's Jason Alexander. You know, he was a little...
Or fourth pitcher, because yeah. maybe you're just like, hey, Jason Alexander, mm-hmm. he'll continue to be as pretty damn good as he has been. I mean, he went six up, six down to start.
But.
Yeah, he had a bad inning, which happens. Hey, maybe that's what it is. You know, the Astros will finish this thing off if they eliminate the bad inning. Because mm-hmm. that's really been, when we talk about Framber Valdez, when we talk about Hunter Brown, it really has just been the bad inning. Mm-hmm. Even in those outings where we go, ugh,
yeah.
it's been... Oh, wow, this is looking good, and then a bad inning. Or here's a bad inning, and then, oh, a good recovery.
Hunter Brown has done that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, Hunter Brown, yeah, yeah. Framber Valdez, mm-hmm. Jason Alexander yesterday, it really has just been the bad inning.
Yeah.
If you can find a way to eliminate the bad inning, which, of course, is like, if you can find a way to land a rocket on the sun, right? Like, it's not
well,
an easy
thing. Well, that's kind of where I am.
But if mm-hmm. you could find a way to, I don't even know, and maybe this is too spicy, I don't even know how much you need to be like, oh, Luis Garcia, Christian yeah. Javier. Because if you can feel comfortable with the three that you got right now, mm-hmm. and yes, welcome Jason Alexander, you are in the club.
Yeah.
If you can find a way with those three to not have the bad inning, mm-hmm. you're three really good starters. You find what to do with the other two. The offense finds a level of consistency, and you close out with Hader.
Those are all good answers, but they all have an if, you know? To me, I guess what it comes down to, why I think Abreu is so crucial down the stretch, because he's not an if, you know? He shuts fools down. Like, you know, if this, if that, I get it. A texter was saying, you know, regarding, you know, Abreu, hey, man, you, the starters still have to give you an opportunity. They really don't. If the bats are active and productive that game, he'll close down, like I said, a 10-11 game or something, you know?
And maybe this is ultimately the answer that I come to. The Astros will finish this thing off if they pick an if. Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of, well, maybe... Maybe the offense stays up. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
Maybe the starters give you a great outing. Maybe they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that maybe the defense has a great day, or maybe they, you know, flub a double play that then leads to a number of unearned
We've
runs.
We've seen that in the
right?
last few days.
So I think that pick an if, man. yeah. Pick it. We are going to be really good with this lineup right now, and mm-hmm. we can make all these other things shake. We're going to go back to having lockdown, just like lights out, mm-hmm. shoving matches with your pitchers out here on the mound. Maybe that's the if.
Yeah.
But one of these things has to find a level of consistency, I would hope. And then you're in the clear, I think, for the Astros.
Yeah.
Quite possibly mm-hmm. the way that goes. Better with runners in scoring position. That's always something yes. that you ask for,
yeah.
for certainly. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you getting in with us. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including a terrific night of college football. Let's talk about that and more next. All right, let's go. Let's get into what's popping here on a Friday. It's a lot going on, including, obviously, the big news of the day, Micah Parsons being traded to the Green Bay Packers. We'll talk more about that here in a second at noon when we ask the big question about it, but that has taken up so much of the attention. Maybe we'll get into this, but I mentioned this earlier, and I do want to ask this question again. Did Jerry Jones mess up the money with the Texans?
Mm-hmm.
Because – I mean, from his perspective, he thought he had a deal that would sign Micah to a $40.5 million dollar a year kind of type contract. I think it was 5 years, $40.5 million average annual value. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the trade happens, and because the Packers were so eager to get it done and were willing to, you know, make some things shake, $47 million on average annual value is what Micah gets for the four-year contract that he signs. And so it feels like, man... That jumps the market. Well, not it feels like. That did make the market.
That's exactly
up.
What I was going to say. It doesn't feel like anything. It affected it.
Is it wild to think that they made the money that they really put his hand in the Texas money, or is that too far? We would have just seen this continue to track up regardless.
Well, but like this? you know, that big of a leap. What would, like, the last couple of you know, edge rushers that signed huge contracts weren't within, I'm trying to think, the last one was it Myles Garrett? The last big.
Okay, so this, yeah, this year we've seen,
yeah,
Myles Garrett end up at 40.
He started it off.
Yeah, he ended up at 40. Mm-hmm. And then TJ Watt ended up at 41. And that was the next.
So a $6 million
jump. It was a $6 million jump in one fell swoop. Yes, sir.
And the Texans have one coming up, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Did they mess with the Texans money?
No, because I was being facetious. Well, yes, next year. Yes, they did. They messed with the Texans money. But here's the thing. The Texans can't be mad about it. I mean, they can because they're going to be spending more money. But it's they messed it up for the entire league, man. I mean, everyone, every position. I think this affects C.J. Stroud's contract. Like, oh, okay, so that left, you know, they jumped this high at the edge rusher. Now we're talking quarterback. Let's talk about the jump. You know, let's talk about real money here.
You think that that's going to, yes. I don't know that that'll go quarterback,
yes,
side as well.
Every
it's
position.
The same agent, too.
Same
oh,
agent.
Oh, yeah.
Every
with that ski mask off. Yeah. Athletes first, man.
And by the way,
yeah,
they are doing, like, this has got to be the best promo ever for your athlete agency. Like, this has got to be Suge Knight standing on
come
the stage
to death
saying,
row.
Come to death row. This is absolutely, it is. Like, do you need any more proof? Yeah. Look at
why
this.
Why would another athlete or somebody that's coming into the game not mm-hmm. want to go there?
Yeah. And by the way, Jerry Jones, I think, was telling a tall tale, when he talked about his agent told me to shove it up my keister. Well, guess what his agent actually did do? He really did shove it up his keister.
That is wild.
He really did.
That is wild.
But no, Reggie, I think I you know, that's one of the first things I put down in my notes here when we, you know, after the trade is, yeah, not only did it affect Will Anderson and wildly reset that edge market, I think it affects C.J. Stroud's. You think C.J. Stroud's going to say, hold on, you want me to take 47? Isn't that what Micah took? I'm more important than Micah.
Oof. I mean,
he's more valuable.
I'm more valuable?
Well, here's the reason why I don't
I'm younger. I'm more important.
You're not wrong. I think that all those are valid. I think the reason why I don't go fully there is the one of the big takeaways from the Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones debacle is the working relationship matters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear to some extent that Nick Caserio cares about having, at the very least, a amenable working relationship, if not like a friendly working relationship. He's willing to not necessarily quibble of what they call the final 4%.
Mm-hmm.
He's not willing to quibble over that, which I imagine makes working a little bit easier. He's willing to kind of have some concessions. Meet in the middle and, you know, really compromise is clear what happens in negotiations with them. And so I feel like when you give a little bit, the other side and the likes of the Molgettas will not necessarily, they'll give a little bit in order to make some things work. I'm not saying that they're like doing you any favors per se, but I don't think that.
If you talk about another agent, I would be down for it. But just Molgettas. Man, they trying to run up.
No, you're gonna spend money. Don't get me wrong.
No, you are. But not only that, Figgy, but I think David Mulligetta, and it's been proved, I think David Mulligetta and Nick Caserio do have a good working relationship. I think they absolutely do. That doesn't change the math, man. Like, Mulligetta can say, hey, man, I love you, but let's start at 47, because that's, you know.
Well, I mean, that's absolutely what's going to happen. Yeah. And I know that the Myles Garrett jump was 5, and we were like, woof.
Yeah.
You got 5 this year, and then 7 on top of that 5 this year well. That's the thing that was really wild. All right, some other things. We mentioned a fantastic first day of week 1 college football last night, including your University of Houston Cougars mm-hmm. getting a 27-0 win over Stephen F. Austin. I want to say the biggest development for me was Connor Wegman looking really good throwing the football. 15 of 24, 159 yards, 3 touchdowns. But I'd be lying. Like, he was fine. I think that there's more upside for him. He had some good throws, but he had some tough ones. Definitely used the athleticism, which is going to be a fun addition.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing was the defense. The defense looked stout. Now, of course, again, SFA, with all due respect, just is not going to be on the same caliber of teams that they're going to see. But the defense looked good. A number of takeaways that happened in this one. And your tight end, Tanner Cozio, he did leave the game after having a touchdown, but he will be fine, it seems like. The defense was the story of that one for me.
It was, but I am a big, big fan of Connor Wegman. I've been, yesterday, since he was in high school. I think he's really, really good. The only story with him is can you stay healthy? He had the ankle or foot thing for a while. Then he got, sort of pushed and had a couple bad games by Marcel Reed at A&M. And so that's the only story. I think if you're a Cougs fan, you got to be very, very happy.
All right. A couple of other games that felt like they had big prominence was the early game, the 4:30 game between Boise State and USF. And, oh, man, number 25 Boise State will not be 25 for long. Fraud watch. 34-7 loss against USF. Asangenti took all that.
That's what I thought too. I might draft him number one now in my fantasy trade if he's that good. If he can do that, make a team look that good. Because what did they only lost one game last year?
I can't recall. Yeah. I'll have to go back. I believe that sounds about right. Yeah. They were incredible last year,
and now they look
he was pretty much LeBron on the Cavs.
He was.
Once he left, they became the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I think had at least TV prominence was Nebraska Cincinnati played at Arrowhead Stadium, mm-hmm. leaning into the Jackson Mahomes Jr. of it all. I will say Nebraska was able to sneak out with the 20-17 victory. That game did not make me feel good about Nebraska this year.
No. Cincinnati early on especially was really kind of manhandling them on the line of scrimmage. And then Nebraska had some success as well on offense, moving the ball and moving the pile, et cetera. But, no, I'm with you on that. And my confession is going to be about Dylan Raiola, so I'm not going to say too much about
That's
him.
That's fine.
He was all right. I think more hype than anything right now, but he's a good quarterback.
Do you like these neutral site games where they have these, especially one that's not like one of these big kickoff type things where mm-hmm. they have these matchups?
I like them
NFL
in situations,
stadium.
Early, openers, things like that.
I should have known. I'm asking an Aggie. Y'all play damn near every year somewhere, whether it's like AT&T Stadium or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, no, that's during the season. That's a tradition with Arkansas. And that ends that's this true. Year. That ends this year. Yeah.
That is true.
They used to have that kickoff classic in New Jersey, remember in the Meadowlands and all that stuff?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Mm-hmm. Keeping up with a little bit of Eurobasket, Turkey played again this morning, in fact. 92-78 victory over the Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the thing that we are here for is the all-star for your Houston Rockets, Alperen Şengün, a nice 23-12-9.
All right.
This, mm-hmm. this close to a Eurobasket triple-double in all of 27 minutes and 51 seconds.
That's what I'm always looking at. Like, how efficient was he? That's good competition if you're not paying attention. That's nothing but good for Şengün.
Yeah, no, Şengün has been fantastic. And maybe the biggest thing, 7 of 10 from free throw in this game. So, again, the free throw percentage is going up. Mm-hmm. But then also, his playmaking, being that connector, obviously he could be, like, just a playmaker somewhat. Mm-hmm. I still want to see that continue to improve because that – probably for me is the biggest upside mm-hmm. that he has for bringing that back to the NBA and becoming even more dominant.
Yeah.
But as a connector, just, hey, I'm driving to the lane, that defender steps up and I drop the ball off to a cutter baseline. That is some of the stuff that you saw in this game even mm-hmm. more so. I am super excited with all the clips. I'm not watching these live necessarily, but the clips that I'm seeing of Alperen Şengün continue to demonstrate a man that is taking his game to another level, which makes me even more excited for, what is it, October the 22nd when we get this thing started?
Is that when it is?
Yep.
Yeah.
In OKC.
Mm-hmm.
That one is going to be really fun.
Yeah.
So that is happening there. Some other things that are popping. Oh, I should just talk about the Astros, right? Like, that is, they're starting a weekend series themselves, right? We should probably mention that, against the Angels. And so they welcome in the Angels, continue to try and get some good things. And this is the part of the rotation that where we go.
Yep.
All right. What you got, fellas? Like, the series that we got as the midweek series was, these are the guys that we trust coming out here on the mound, and Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, and Jason Alexander. Now we get the weekend series, which is the, all right, what can you tell me about what can you tell me about yourselves? What can you show me with starting with Christian Javier on the mound today versus Tyler Anderson, who has a 4.73 ERA. Interestingly enough, better than Christian Javier's 5.40. How are you feeling going into this one?
I am more interested in Lance McCullers Jr. and the bullpen to see how that plays out. That to me is the story.
That's a good one. That's a good point.
For the weekend. I was listening to the guys this morning, and not that it was a bad point. It was a good point. Sean Pendergast brought up his one hesitation with Lance McCullers Jr. coming out of the bullpen is, he's a creature of habit. He's prone to, this was the one that I was like, all right, I get that. He's prone to slow starts. And if you're out of the bullpen, you can't have slow starts. My counterpoint to that would be, Yeah, but he's also prone to slow starts when he knows he's going to pitch at minimum five innings or try to pitch at minimum five innings and maybe longer.
Oh, the governor that starters put on themselves?
Yes.
If he's just out here giving it 100%, pedal to metal pitching.
And he's not necessarily a power pitcher, but I think he can really, you know, work with that a little bit more out of the bullpen. That's what I'm watching with the Astros. You know, I think he's better suited for the bullpen. I don't know if Joe Espada and company are saying, yeah, he might come back and be a starter is even real. I think they want to put him there and leave him there, you know, because of what you mentioned earlier. Everybody's, you know, role has increased in the bullpen because you lost Hader, et cetera. I want to see McCullers in the bullpen. I want to see what he does. And I think there's a real good chance that he might excel. Yeah.
I
just
hear you
for
on,
an inning, man.
I hear you on all those. That last part, I reserve judgment on. And then, interestingly enough, the Patriots have released veteran safety Jabril Peppers, who still has $4.32 million guaranteed on his contract. For someone who was interested about safety, especially when that could come up and thump, Texans, question mark?
What team released him again?
The Patriots? Okay. Oh, okay. All right. So, coming up next, I will get your opinion on that. But more importantly, did the Packers defense jump the Texans in one fell swoop? Let's talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.